long before I was ever in the line of succession. In fact, you're the one who put this crown on my head." Sylvanus lifted a hand, demanding his turn to speak.
"Prince Epgaius, how will you handle the Norrheim conflict if you think that expansion isn't the solution?"
Death looked over and twitched his head, gesturing for Essa to join him.
"Marriage," he said. "I intend to marry Princess Alessia Arivati, binding my family to the ruling line of Norrheim. The queen has assured me that she will negotiate for equitable trade once I am named Caesar."
He reached down for Essa's hand and smiled before looking back to the man in the center.
"Senator Azria cannot expand forever. We need to learn from our neighbors how to become self-sustaining, and we all know that Norrheim's wealth is legendary."
"Proof!"
Vinko yelled, gesturing to Death with both arms.
"By his own words, he proves that he's no longer loyal to Rhea, and thus not fit for the position of Caesar."
"And you,"
Death replied just as loudly,
"are a traitor, and therefore excluded from consideration. Why don't we let the gods decide? I challenge you, Senator Vinko, to the death. May the Pantheon choose which of us is truly worthy of representing this glorious nation. Let us leave the decision to order and chaos."
Everything stopped. Even the sway of cloth stilled as the audience waited for the response. Vinko's eyes flared wide, but then his expression began to change. Layli knew what was happening. She'd seen it too many times before. The Master of Tactics had just figured out a way to make this all work in his favor, and it hadn't even taken him 2 seconds to think of it. While everyone in the Senate held their collective breath, the Queen of Norrheim waited for the death blow.
"I claim Inimical Vindex," Vinko said,
his voice much too pleased. The words didn't translate directly into Hamish, but Layli still understood. The enemy's champion, that was the closest she could get, but it was a Rhian tradition. The idea was that each man chose one person to fight for his partner, and one to fight for himself, thus making teams of two. Traditionally, the person chosen for the enemy would be someone vulnerable enough to make the challenger reconsider, but Death couldn't. If he backed out now, he would give up all claims to the position of Caesar. He'd be lucky if he wasn't accused of treason himself. "Do it," Layli breathed, aware they had no other option. "They won't choose your mother, and the rest of us can hold our own." Slowly, Death bowed his head, accepting Vinko's terms.
"Name my champion, Senator Vinko."
The Rhian bastard actually smiled.
"I chose the Arivati girl to fight for you."
He pointed right at Essa. Death chuckled, but it was tense. Still, he did his best to act as if he didn't care.
"Fine. Then I choose your son, Antonius Vinko, to stand for you."
The senator's smile grew.
"And for my own champion, I name Ursa Rex."
Death's fingers tightened on the marble banister, and Layli could guess why. That wasn't a family name. It was a moniker, no different than those used in Norrheim. The man Vinko had just picked to fight against her sister was a gladiator, and with a name like the Bear King, most likely a good one. But Vinko wasn't the only one in the Senate who understood tactics. Layli did, too, and she'd spent her entire life learning how to master the element of surprise. Subtly, she brushed her arm against Death's, begging him to look at her. When he did, she could see the fear in his eyes. "Pick Tristan," she told him, whispering in her own language. "Trust me, Death. You risked your life for years, and I know how much I owe you. Trust me and choose Tristan to stand for you. It's the only way to keep Essa safe."
"Lay,"
Tristan breathed, but she didn't get the chance to answer him.
"I choose the Lion of Lenlochlian," Death declared.
Chapter 48. Sylvanus ran a hand over the scroll he still held, the one that named Aquilius Gaius's preferred heir. The gesture was not lost on Layli, but this ordeal wasn't done yet. Death had made the challenge, Vinko had accepted it, but according to Rhian law, the Senate needed to show their support. Otherwise, the decision wouldn't change a thing.
"The challenge will be held tomorrow at noon," the magistrate finally announced. "We shall let the gods decide which of these men is worthy. All competitors will spend the night under observation to prevent tampering by the opposing sides, and they will be expected to report to the arena within the hour."
Until the challenge is complete, elections for Caesar will be postponed.
Whaley, Tristan hissed, pulling her around to look at him while everyone else in the building once again began to speak.
What are you doing? What's going on? I can't follow half of that.
I think I know, Death admitted, changing to Hamish.
Whaley, you need to make sure she can do this.
Whaley caught her sister's eye. She can do this. Then her hand slipped to her belly. But she's going to need some good armor.
I will make sure of it, Portia swore, just as a pair of Rion guards moved closer.
Thankfully, they didn't appear to claim any provincial allegiance. These men worked directly for the office of the Caesar. That was as unbiased as Laylee could hope for, and her status as a foreign dignitary should give her the leeway she needed. She intended to push it as far as possible. Grabbing Tristan's hand, she begged, I need you to trust me, just like you did that very first day.
I will, Lay, but I'm not sure I'll be good enough without you.
I know. Then she turned, walking right up to the guard. Each step closer, she forced herself to appear more and more panicked.
Where will she be? That's my sister. You can't force her to fight for someone else.
Mom, the man said, gently catching Laylee's flailing hands. She will be well cared for. If you want to stop this, then you need to convince Prince Abgaius to call off his challenge.
Can I at least see her? Laylee begged. She doesn't know anyone, and she hasn't committed a crime, but you intend to lock her up?
Madame Arivati, the man soothed, proving he knew nothing about her proper title. You can see her. The confinement is simply to prevent her opponent from attempting assassination to further his cause.
Oh, fuck, Essa groaned in Hamish. But Tristan had started smiling, almost as if he guessed what she intended to do.
It'll all be okay, Essa.
The guard's brow creased, proving he didn't speak Hamish, so Tristan went on.
Lay will take care of us both.
Dario just scrubbed at his face.
Tristan, they're taking you to a holding cell in the arena.
He lifted his chin and asked in Riok,
Will they be kept together?
The guard glanced back at his companion, but only got a shrug in response.
Typically, he told the prince, although I'm aware that Norheim customs are different, would your country prefer they are in separate cells?
No, Laylee said before Dario could answer. Tristan will take care of my sister. I want them together.
Laylee, Essa hissed. He'd better spend all night teaching me how to defend myself.
Your time will be better spent sleeping, Laylee assured her. Just go with them. Claudius and I will bring you weapons and armor. I promise we won't take long. Gently, Tristan wrapped his arm around Essa's shoulder, then nodded for the guards to lead on. With his support, her sister didn't try to fight it. Laylee just hoped he wouldn't say something where anyone could overhear. In this country, it was impossible to guess who was feigning ignorance for an advantage, and who really didn't understand them. If the wrong person heard, Laylee wasn't sure who they'd execute, her or her sister. Possibly both. Even though she'd expected it, everything was happening a little too fast. Laylee knew they had to do this, but she hated it. Right now, Essa had to be terrified, feeling just like Laylee had that first day, when she woke up in a filthy cell with no clue how she got there. Laylee wanted to explain everything, to tell them all her plan, but she couldn't. Not here, because what she intended to do was so far outside the Rion laws that it could ruin everything if they were caught.
Wolf,
Death asked, carefully using her arena name.
What do you need?
A very quiet place, she told him, because I need to think really hard and really fast. No one tried to stop them as they returned to the Gaius residence. No one sneered or laughed, but Laylee had a feeling everyone in Riadusu knew what had happened. The whole trip back, Connell and Dario tried to explain things to those who didn't speak Riok, but they both sounded worried. Laylee ignored the gasps of shock. Instead, her complete attention was on the one thing she'd never wanted to be, a pregnant gladiator.
Darkness, she breathed. Don't let me be discovered.
Then she turned her prayers to another god.
Flame, this time I think I need your protection. Keep my baby safe, keep my husband and country from the foolishness of a hasty decision. Most of all, remind me of the passion that helped me live.
Beside her, Death rubbed her shoulder.
On sleep. Make this nightmare have a good ending.
Sleep? Laylee asked. Really?
The god of dreams, he explained. What else would an emperor's family want?
But the moment they were safely inside, Laylee turned to her friends. Vinkel picked Essa, hoping Death would forfeit the challenge. He has no idea that my ladies have any skill with swords, so probably assumed she would be a helpless damsel, and Death has a reputation for appreciating women.
Hey, Death grumbled.
You do, she told him. But Essa's not going to fight. I am. That's why I needed him to pick Tristan, because together nothing can stop us.
Laylee,
Connell said, stepping closer to grab her arms.
You're pregnant.
And if I die on those sands, then my child will never have to know war. If I live, she won't either. If we don't do this, then Vinko will find a way to either kill me, enslave her, or both. There's no good answer, Connell, except for us to win.
And I think they can, Death assured them. Ursa Rex is going to be slow. He's named after a bear. Vinko's son is arrogant and sloppy. It won't be easy, but those men have never worked together, so they'll come at them on their own, not expecting a tandem team.
Grigori was the first to recover.
Okay, he said, taking charge. Then what do you need, Laylee?
Armor. Preferably a full chest piece that will protect my baby. I need something that won't tangle around my legs, so no more constricting than a Rion-style skirt. Same for Tristan. Round shield for me, and the Flame of Oberheim for him. Get my short sword, and we'll both need greaves and bracers. She licked her lips. And Connell, you'll have to help Essa. Don't let her become shy. She needs to be me while I'm being her. The entire Senate must believe that the princess is on the sands, not the queen.
I can do it, he swore. And I'm sure they won't find it strange for a young woman to worry about her sister.
Astrid was still shaking her head. Laylee, you can't do this. I can, she told her. I have to, and I'm trusting you to keep Dario from calling her the wrong name. Come on, Astrid. How many times have people confused Essa and me?
I did, Death admitted. When I saw her at Taurus Camp, I swore she was you, Laylee.
She nodded. And I intend to use that. I've gained weight because of the baby. My chest is bigger. That means we're almost the same size, and I clearly look nothing like my mother, because my sister could be my twin. I can do this, Astrid, and I will not let your brother ever face an opponent without me beside him. Never again. Astrid swallowed, but nodded. And if you two don't survive? Then you need to get my brother back to Norheim as fast as you can. You will be the next queen, Astrid. If Tristan and I fail, then it's all up to you.
Oh, shit. Then don't you dare fail.
She turned, heading for the stairs.
Just don't forget to hand yourself your own necklace. I'll handle the clothes.
Her eyes fell on her brother. Dario's skin was a little too pale, but he met her eyes and nodded.
Plague and I will find armor for Tristan. Just come back, Laylee. I don't want to rule.
I will. You know his size?
I do, Plague promised. He and I talked about gear a few times. It'll be just like the games, and you've already won free. This is just the encore.
That was when Laylee knew this would work. She might not be sure she'd win, but she knew she'd at least die without being discovered. Unfortunately, no one would let her worry about a thing. While Portia had her guards dig through the armory for a woman's breastplate, Death went in search of weapons. Mara decided that a good meal would do them both good. Almost everyone headed off in a different direction, intending to make this easy on Laylee, except Crush.
Don't forget about your hair, he said,
claiming the empty spot on the couch beside her.
I told Timoteo to ask how the rounds go here, how they start and end, and what the arena looks like. We'll make sure you're prepared. Plague and I know what you need.
Then he lifted his arm and invited her closer.
But right now, you don't have to be strong for anyone. Just feel it, Wolf. Let it settle and accept the fear.
Thank you, Crush, she whispered. I feel it.
Good. And tomorrow you'll prove that Norheim's women can bite.
Then he chuckled.
I have one question, though. Mara thinks she might finally be pregnant. If we have a girl, would you mind if we named her Meridia?
No, Laylee said, feeling her eyes starting to grow moist. You know, she was a great warrior from a story my brother loved. I think it'd be perfect for your daughter.
And maybe my little girl can grow up to be your daughter's maid.
Laylee bumped him gently. Or guard.
Yeah, that might fit her better.
He chuckled, but it sounded sad.
You know, Mara and I have been trying for another child. I thought she was pregnant before, but she says it didn't settle. She lost it early. Maybe when we get home you might consider sitting around for a while so she can take it easy.
Promise, Laylee paused. When you get back to Norheim, will you check on Sherry for me? Tell her she should stay in Landmont if she's happy there, or Astrid will take her if she's not. He made no attempt to argue whether or not Laylee would be with him.
I can do that.
And tell my father I love him. Tell him I tried to do what I thought was right.
I will.
She closed her eyes and took the deepest breath she could. Letting it out, she added, And if Tristan has to live without me, please take care of him.
Like my own brother, Crush swore. But you forgot something, Wolf.
What? He smiled down at her.
I want to see you make smart choices, not show off, am I clear?
That earned him an honest smile. The words were almost the same ones she'd told him when they'd met. He'd asked for her blessing, and she'd given it, along with the order to fight so he would survive. Clearly, Crush hadn't forgotten, and she shouldn't either. So does that mean I get your blessing? He reached over and kissed the top of her head.
For what it's worth, yeah. Fight well tomorrow, Wolf. Fight like a real bitch, and show these Rion fucks that Norheim nobles are something to fear.
Yeah. She pushed herself to her feet, then offered him a hand. I am the Wolf of Oberheim. I cannot be defeated, not with my partner beside me.
Or your country at your back. Long live the Gladiator Queen.
Chapter 49 In Rhea, the arenas were huge. A coliseum, Death called it, explaining that Rhea Dusu had the largest games in the world. From the size of the place, Laylee could believe it, but right now it was empty. There were no men sobbing in the cells below the sands, no staff carrying out bodies to become compost, and, most importantly, no visitors to gawk at her. There were only guards in the Senate uniform. Different ones than the pair who'd escorted Tristan and Essa into custody, but they still had eyes that Laylee didn't need. As darkness descended outside, the men led her and Death down into the belly of the games, each one carrying an armful of gear. The rest had begged to come, but Laylee refused, knowing how easy it would be for someone to let the plan slip. One word would be all it took to condemn them to death, and not even a final goodbye was worth that risk. When they eventually reached the cells, Laylee dared to ask, Where are Vinko's champions?
Opposite sides, the guard told her. And you will not be allowed to see them, ma'am, I'm sorry.
Actually, she admitted, I was worried they might come to gawk at my sister.
The Princeps party is allowed to see his champions, the senator his. That's it. No one else, for any reason whatsoever.
Which was good enough for her. According to Death, Essa would be allowed to try on her armor and ask for more if it didn't fit. Laylee was hoping to use that to swap places, but she'd have to be fast. Death would insist the men turn their backs, but she had no idea if they'd stay close enough to hear. Somehow, she'd have to find a way to make Essa know what was needed without drawing any undue attention. Cursing herself for a fool, she realized she should have brought a note, not just armor and weapons. Then, up ahead, a light announced their destination. One lantern burned in the hallway, marking where the Norheim champions were being kept. Leaning against the wall across from the cells, a pair of men spoke softly, completely ignoring the people inside. In Laylee's opinion, things were looking up.
Norheim,
the guard with them announced.
The queen wants to help her sister fit armor. The princep has gear for the...
He paused, trying to wrap his tongue around the foreign word.
Lion.
Finally, Essa said, moving to grab the bars at the front of the cell. All Laylee could see were her hands. Kinda quiet down here, sis. I figured you'd be used to it, Wolf. Laylee gestured for someone to open the door. It's a foreign cell, Essa replied, proving she understood. When the door swung in, she stepped back. Welcome to my home away from home. I hear the sand here is white. The fear that had been weighing down Laylee's shoulders began to lift. With a polite smile, she turned back to the guards. Can you give us some privacy?
You want the man to come with us,
one offered, gesturing to Tristan. No, Laylee assured them. He's been trained according to our customs, and I may need his help with the laces.
Sure, just call when you're finished.
Too easy, Laylee thought. There was no way they'd make it this simple to swap places.
Then again, most people never really looked at each other. They noticed clothes, crowns, and other unimportant things, but didn't bother to actually look at the person under them. Laylee intended to use that to her advantage. The moment Death had taken the guards far enough away, Laylee began to tug at her laces. "Fast," she whispered, keeping her voice to little more than a breath. "Tristan, get her buttons." In tandem, they shed their clothes. Tristan focused on the delicate fastenings down Essa's back. Essa took one side of Laylee's corset while she handled the other herself. Almost simultaneously, the women's clothes loosened enough that they could strip out of them. Without a word, Tristan turned to face the wall. The pink dress went on Laylee, the gold outfit on Essa, and then they started tying themselves back into place. "Tristan," Laylee hissed, and he silently joined back in. Surprisingly, it didn't take long. In less than 2 minutes, Laylee was adjusting the heavy crown on Essa's head, using her hair to hold it in place, the way Astrid had done to Laylee that morning. There was just one thing she forgot. "Necklace," Essa warned. Laylee passed it over. "Make an ordeal of giving it to me, but not too loud." Her sister nodded. "I want you to wear this. It always brought me luck, and I hope it will do the same for you, Essa." "Thanks, Laylee," Laylee said, finding it hard to use her own name casually. "So the breastplate fits. What else did you bring?" Essa just shrugged, proving she had no clue, but those words weren't actually meant for her. That was Death's cue to bring in Tristan's armor.
"Essa, you decent in there?"
"I am," Laylee called back. A moment later, Death was at the bars.
"Everything fit?"
Laylee nodded, finding it easy to show her nerves. "The greaves are a little big, but they'll do."
"I'll see if I can find a smaller set, but I want to make sure Tristan will be happy with his gear, too."
He stepped back for the guard to open the door, then entered.
"We tried to get what you were most comfortable with, but you've been wearing that uniform for a while, too. I have more at home if you need it."
Tristan lifted a metal chest piece from his arm.
"Too heavy. Have a right manacle. That's all I'm used to using."
Death moved to the cot and set down his load beside the pile Laylee had brought in.
"Yes, will brass do?"
"Perfect," Tristan assured him, sliding his arm into the piece.
"Weapons. Brought the flame and a few short swords of the style you used most often."
A smile claimed Tristan's face.
"I'll take the flame, and for my partner."
Reaching to the bottom, Death grabbed something and turned the entire pile upside down, revealing a large, round shield. Stamped into the center was a wolf. Death looked up to meet Tristan's eyes, and they both nodded. It wasn't much, but there, under the Riadusu arena, the lion and the wolf were as ready as they'd ever be.
"It'll do,"
Tristan assured him.
"Just take care of my queen."
"You have my word," Death promised.
"Take care of my girl." "Always," Tristan swore. "And tomorrow will make you proud."
Essa chuckled. "Now steal your kiss, Claudius, and let's leave them to get some sleep." Laylee shot her sister a confused look, but Essa just flicked her eyes to the bars, showing that was for the guards in the hall. Regardless, Death still moved closer, wrapping her in his arms, but he didn't kiss her. Instead, his mouth hovered beside her ear, and his words were little more than a whisper.
"I'll be back before the fight with news of your opponents. Fight well, my friend, and keep that man safe."
Laylee nodded and reached up to reply. "If the worst happens, make sure she gets home, then stay with her."
"Yeah,"
he said, letting his voice be heard.
"Kinda what I thought. Come what may, wolf, lion, I will not look away."
"Thank you," Tristan told him.
"And if you'd ask the guards to give us a little privacy..."
Death huffed.
"Neither speaks a word of Hamish. I told them it was okay because the woman spoke Riach, but they're not here to keep you prisoner. Their job is to make sure Vinko can't assassinate either of you. In Ria, it's believed that arena fights are decided by the gods. I just don't know if yours will show up this far from home."
Laylee shrugged. "Not sure it matters. I think they prepared us for this a long time ago. We'll be fine."
"I know."
Death stepped back and gestured for someone to open the door.
"Sleep well, you two. Fight strong."
Then he was gone. Outside in the hall, Laylee watched the light dim as one lantern moved away. A moment later, the other shifted in the opposite direction, proving they really would get the privacy they wanted. and when she turned around, Laylee found Tristan moving their gear onto the rather clean floor.
Had to be a pink dress, huh?
She looked down, realizing he was right. My sister picked it. This time, it's not my fault.
No, but still fitting.
He eased himself onto the bed.
You scared, pup?
Laylee nodded. A little. You know they don't use a gong here, but sound a horn. Tristan thrust out his lower lip and harumphed.
Had no idea.
Shifting toward the wall, he made room for her just like he had so many times before.
What about the baby, Lay?
She sat on the edge to kick off her boots. I'll be wearing a full breastplate. She'll be fine.
Oh,
he chuckled.
So you finally believe it'll be a girl?
Shifting her feet under the blanket, she rolled onto her back. One hand moved to the bulge that stood up in her otherwise flat stomach. No, but I think you're right. I think another queen is exactly what Norahame needs, but I'll be just as happy with a son. Right now, I just prefer to think it's a girl because that's what you keep telling me she is.
Hey,
he whispered, moving his hand to cover hers.
If we live through this, you know what it means?
That Rhea will become a true ally?
Well, that too, he admitted. But I was thinking about us. Pup, why would the gods put us through all of this just to take you from me later? I mean, if you can do everything you've managed so far, it just wouldn't make sense.
The will of the gods rarely makes sense to mortals, she pointed out. But there is one thing I regret. He shifted his fingers under hers.
What's that?
Laylee turned her head to see him. If I can live through this, then I shouldn't have waited. I'm 15 weeks pregnant, Tristan. That's almost 4 months, which is almost as long as we were chained together. What if I lost all that time with you for no reason?
No, he whispered. There was a reason. It gave me time to see the real you, to listen to what you said and watch how you reacted, to figure out that you are the most amazing woman I've ever known. Laylee, I will never regret the nights I spend feeling your delicate little fingers along the side of my neck and your head on my shoulder. I would not trade those hours dancing in the grass for anything. I love you more than I ever thought possible, but I love so much more than just making love to you.
He moved his hand up to brush the hair away from her face.
Lay, if we'd never spent all those days chained together, then we wouldn't be here now.
Yeah, she agreed. And I would probably be married to some old man.
Lying on your back and praying for conception, he teased.
With a giggle, she rolled into him. Exactly. I think your way is much better.
Mm-hmm.
Then he paused.
But I can't sleep with Death's future wife, so I guess we're right back where we started, with me thinking this beautiful woman beside me must be a goddess, because she's much too beautiful to be mortal.
She pressed her head into his chest. And me manipulating things so I'll have the best partner in the games. Did you know that when you walked away after that first night, after Marino released the chain, I never felt so alone?
Me too. I looked back, thinking my last glimpse of you would be what I'd remember when I finally made a mistake.
His arms moved around her back.
But you will never be a mistake, Lay. Never. Not even if the gods take you from me. Every minute I get with you will be worth any heartache I'll have to suffer without you.
He paused, looking down into her eyes.
When we get home, can we try it Connell's way? I don't care what people say about me, but I'm tired of pretending like I don't care. I want everyone to know that the Wolf of Oberheim is mine.
She nodded. I swear. You made me a king of the arena, so why can't I make you a king of Norahame?
Lay, I don't want to be a king. I just want to be yours, in this life and the next, until the end of time. I want you to be safe, have our babies, and grow very old with me.
He leaned in to kiss her brow.
I don't want to be your king, Lay. I want to be your husband.
Until the gods rend us asunder, she promised. Chapter 50. The cold wind from the day before brought clouds the next morning, but Death said it didn't smell like there would be any rain. To Laylee, that was a relief. White sands and sunny skies were a recipe for disaster after a night in the dark. Ursa Rex would probably be used to the change in brightness, so would have the advantage. With the clouds, it meant Laylee and Tristan would only have to worry about their ability to fight back. But death didn't bring only good news. Overnight, Minko had insisted the battle be to the death of both champions, and the Senate had agreed. When he told them, Death hung his head, knowing his own outburst was the reason. He'd named the terms, assuming Vinko would be proud enough to fight for himself, but he'd been wrong. Now, someone else would have to pay the price. Even worse, it seemed Ursa Rex wasn't the ponderous thing his name implied. He was big and strong, but agile. Unlike in Norheim, Rian gladiators were paid well, and many made a career out of it. Ursa Rex was such a man, and the rumors said he was in his prime. Antonius Vinko wasn't someone to write off, either. He'd served 5 years with the Rian army and had risen up the ranks on his own merits. He was a skilled soldier, and, unlike his father, cautious. While he might not be as intimidating as Ursa Rex, Antonius could easily kill either of them. The problem was that neither Tristan nor Laylee would survive on their own, but the enemy didn't know that. Norheim women were known to be kept sheltered, which meant both of their opponents would go for Laylee first. She was perfectly okay with that. All too soon, it was time. Dressed in the kind of gear they'd dreamed of in the games, Laylee and Tristan followed the pair of Senate guards through the bowels of the Colosseum. Above, the sound of people proved this had become a spectacle. It was muffled, making it impossible to guess how many Rians were in attendance, but Laylee assumed it was quite a few. Rumors spread fast, and every citizen would want to see if the mysterious princeps was favored by their gods. The ramp that led up to the arena gate was steep. On the other side, the diffused light was still bright, making Laylee's eyes water, but Tristan refused to look away. Mimicking him, she stared out at the white sands, forcing her eyes to adjust. Behind them, one of the guards stepped closer. Pointing through the metal gate, he said in Riok,
"There are pits beneath the sands. Watch for the lines so you don't trip on the mechanisms. The Caesar's box is over there."
His fingers shifted slightly to the narrow end on the opposite side.
"If you defeat your opponent but do not kill him, the magistrate has the choice of declaring life or death."
"How will we know?" Laylee asked. The man held out his thumb, pointing to the side, then turned it down.
"Death."
Then he turned it up.
"Life. Leniency."
She nodded. "And the fight starts with the horn?"
"Yes."
He pulled in a breath, apparently thinking.
"When the senators arrive, there will be a trumpet of announcement. That is not it. The sign to start the games is just one long blast. Do not confuse it with the cadence that will precede the magistrate's speech."
The other one called up from the hall.
"They will announce you with Norheim battle names."
Laylee smiled. "The Wolf of Oberheim and the Lion of Lanlochlian?" she asked. He shrugged.
"I do not know the words. I only know that the princeps requested it, and the magistrate approved. Do the names have meaning for you?"
Laylee quickly translated for Tristan, then assured the guards. "Yes, those are the names we fought under as gladiators." Both men began to smile.
"It seems the princeps is wiser than we thought. Good luck out there."
Slowly, Laylee shook her head, but her words were for Tristan. "Luck has nothing to do with this, although I won't turn down his favor."
"Dunno, pup. Starting to think he might actually like us."
He tossed her a smile, then gave his sword a test swing.
"Truth be told, I kinda miss this."
"Me too," she agreed, moving before him. "And this time, we don't even have to worry about the chain." Before she even finished her sentence, a collection of horns began to trumpet. The tune was short, and when it ended, the gates began to rise. When they reached the top, and not a moment before, Laylee and Tristan calmly stepped out onto the sands. In the distance, someone was bellowing out an announcement, but the words echoed in the stone bowl, making them impossible to understand. Since they were in Riok, Tristan couldn't help. Then,
"The Wolf of Oberheim and the Lion of Lanlochlian," the magistrate announced.
Before, they'd always accepted the adoration of the crowd, but not this time. Last night, Tristan had come up with a plan. If the Rians expected her to be a frightened little girl, then she should act like one. It had worked for her in the games, and this time he'd try to do the same. Between the foreign language, new customs, and the assumption that they were nothing more than foreign nobility, their opponents should fall for the ruse. At least, that's what Layli and Tristan hoped. But when the magistrate announced Ursa Rex and Antonia Svinko, the roar of the crowd made it clear Ursa Rex was the favorite. Across the sands below the Caesar's box, the largest man Layli had ever seen raised his arms to bask in the cheers. Beside him stood another in the Vrion uniform, looking disgusted with the entire ordeal. Clearly, this wouldn't be an easy fight. And still, the magistrate spoke. Layli caught something about gods and Caesars, but she couldn't quite make it out. Instead, she watched the gladiator pose and primp for his audience. When he finally turned his attention on the Norhamers across from him, Layli ducked back, moving behind Tristan. Up above, people laughed.
"There's an open spot in the middle," Tristan said. "Doesn't look like it is any of the pits around it. We should have room to work if we can make it there."
Layli moved closer to his back. "How? Rushing for it won't come across as either weak or timid."
"Nope."
So Tristan grabbed the wrist of her sword arm.
"But hauling you there will be confusing enough that they won't expect it."
Which was exactly what he did. Layli stumbled after him, taking the chance to look around. Not at the audience, because she knew what would be up there. No, her attention was on what mattered. Unlike the arenas she'd fought in, this Colosseum was huge. The battle area was half again as big as what she was used to. There was no hummock in the center for King of the Hill, nor were there any posts for chaining beasts. It was simply an open expanse where a group of people could kill each other under the eyes of those who paid for the privilege. Just as they passed the last crease showing the edge of a pit, a loud horn blew in a single long blast. Tristan immediately released her arm and turned to face the men running toward them. Layli, however, continued to hang back, keeping her shield down as if she were struggling just to hold on to it. Then, at the last possible second, she surged around her partner, leading with a mass of metal. Antonius barely got his own shield up in time to take the hit. However, he wasn't fast enough to keep the lion from hacking at his arm. A yelp of pain burst out, but Layli didn't have time to gloat. On the other side, an even bigger threat was upon them. Ducking to avoid Tristan's next swing, she slashed out horizontally, aiming for Ursa Rex's leg. He jumped back, taking nothing more than a nick against his greaves, but the look in his eye showed surprise. He'd almost made a mistake, and the man knew it. That meant she wouldn't get another easy chance. Unfortunately, she also couldn't stand against his strength. Without a word, she spun around Tristan's back, deciding the senator's son had to die first. A sword clashed, ringing against her shield. Beside her, Tristan's grunt said he was doing his best to hold them off. What she had to do was change the rules. She had to figure out a way to take the advantage, and fast. With Ursa Rex hammering Tristan from the side, Antonius was all hers. The man sneered over his shield, dark brown eyes a match to his brown skin. In almost every fight she'd had, her opponent had been scared, at least a bit. Not this man. Not even when her sword cut across the lip of his shield, a breath away from his face. Instead, he looked like he enjoyed the danger, as if carnage was his playground. Just like his father, there seemed to be something depraved about the way he thrived on seeing others suffer, and each hit of his sword proved it. The heavy steel pounded hard enough she could feel the vibrations up her arm. What he didn't realize was that he was only pissing her off. For too long, she tried to find a way to make up for all the men who died to her sword. She'd given up everything, including the chance to openly love the man who was her real husband, so she could make life better for her people. Now, she was risking her own child so that some arrogant Rion couldn't enslave her citizens. She'd dedicated her life to her country, but this man acted like the whole thing was one big joke. And she was done. Let the fool think she was a weak barbarian. Rion patriarchs could congratulate themselves on their civility all they wanted. But once Claudius was named the Caesar of Rhea, everything would change. She just had to find the one advantage this man wouldn't see coming. In the past, there had been one thing no one ever expected. ducking away from another powerful hit, she decided it was worth trying. A curse fell from her mouth as she thrust hard, right at Antonius's foot. The sword pierced his boot, and the man tried to howl. That moment of shock was the only mistake he got. Tristan turned, swinging out with the flame, completely ignoring Ursa Rex for that split second. The Rion gladiator paused. Tristan's sword hit, ringing off Antonius's shield, and blood flew across the white sand. As Ursa Rex's eye grew wide, Laylee twisted around to give her partner some protection, but she knew what had just happened. The lion's hit had nearly cut the senator's son's head from his neck. Behind her, Antonius Vinco crumpled in death. Ursa Rex took another step back, slowly nodding his head.
So you are gladiators.
Laylee felt Tristan's presence at her back, so dared to see what had happened to the senator's son. Just like she'd thought, he was dead. Even better, Tristan seemed unharmed. Meeting his eyes, she nodded and began to move toward their next target. Are you scared of gladiators? She asked in Rioch. Ursa Rex shook his head.
No, it's just that they said I would fight a pampered little princess. I didn't think that would be a fair fight, but this, I think, is...
Laylee smiled. Yeah, she assured him, stalking him across the sands. You get to meet the gladiator queen. Let's go, Bear King. Ursa Rex took another step back.
I've heard of you. Is it true that you gave Lanmont to us? To the gladiators? Lay,
Tristan breathed. He wants to know if we gave Lanmont to gladiators, she explained. He's stalling.
He's also moving toward the pits.
Laylee chuckled and lowered her weapons. And I'm not following him. She changed languages. I have all day, Bear King.
Why a wolf?
He called back in heavily accented Hamish.
Because she's a mean bitch, Tristan told him.
Ursa Rex nodded.
Kinda what I thought.
Then he charged, but not at her. The man's focus was on Tristan, so Laylee moved in to protect him, but it was all a ploy. At the last minute, Ursa Rex kicked out, knocking her leg out from under her. Laylee fell, trying to roll out of the way, and Tristan lunged over her. Fire seared against her arm as the sword found her bare flesh, but she didn't have time to worry about it. Scrambling to her feet, Laylee saw exactly what she wanted. Ursa Rex's back. Pushing off the sand as hard as she could, Laylee charged. Her eyes were locked on the back of his head, following his motion as he tried to pummel Tristan into the sand. She was half a step away when the man turned, leading with his sword, but she was already committed. With her shield high and her entire weight behind the hit, she propelled herself into his blade, feeling the steel skip across her chest as her best weapon found its mark. The crash was loud, vibrating up her arm. Blood sprayed from Ursa Rex's face, and he staggered. On the other side, Tristan kicked, toppling the dazed man. Then, together, Laylee and Tristan surged in, each one securing an arm with their foot while pointing their blades at the man's face.
Lay, Tristan asked. Did he hit you?
Tits, she assured him, and covered in armor.
Thank the gods.
Beneath them, Ursa Rex just released his sword and held his palms open.
I yield, he admitted. Kill me, or let the magistrate decide. You tried to kill my child, Tristan growled,
moving the point a little closer to the man's face. Stop, Laylee demanded. He tried to live, just like we did. Watch him. And she lifted her head to the magistrate. In the Caesar's box, Laylee could see Death arguing with Vinco. Between them, the magistrate was desperately trying to keep it from coming to blows. The problem was that none of them were looking at the sands. No one was willing to make the decision about this man's life. Hey, Laylee yelled, pitching it to Carrie. Slowly, all three men turned to look. I played your game. Now it's your turn. Let everyone here see if Rhea is truly as benevolent as you say. Decide this man's fate, or I will.
Lay,
Tristan asked. I will kill him, she promised him. I'd rather not, but if it means stopping this war, I will put my sword through him, but I refuse to take responsibility for the decision. This is their game, so they need to live with the guilt. Ursa Rex chuckled softly.
Just make it clean. I will die with pride to the Norahame Queen and her partner, but I only ask that you do not make it torture.
I swear. She looked down and met his dark, nearly black eyes. You fought too well to suffer for it, but I would much rather you live.
Thank you,
he whispered, closing his eyes against the decision.
May your reign be long.
Fuck, Tristan growled as he looked up, waiting for the magistrate's signal.
Choose life, you bastards. Choose life.
Chapter 51. When the senators filed into the Caesar's box before the games, the magistrate had the sense to separate the princeps party from Senator Vinko's. Sadly, it wasn't quite far enough. When Lely and Tristan walked onto the sands, Death could hear Vinko's amused chuckle. Glancing over, he saw the man smile, convinced this would be his victory celebration. Death knew better. The timid girl putting on a convincing act of being afraid might be the most terrifying fighter he'd ever seen on the sands. Not because she was that good, but because she was simply that determined. With the lion at her back, they had the skill to slaughter their enemies, and so much more. Right now, Vinko's champions looked amused, as if this was going to be an easy victory. Then Tristan began hauling Lely toward the center of the arena. That meant someone had warned them about the traps. Death had only learned about them on his way up to the sands. Hazardous footing had been the death of too many gladiators, a few by his own hand. If they knew, then they'd win easily, or so he hoped. Yet when the magistrate called out the names of the fighters, hearing the crowd cheer for Vinko's men only made his tension rise.
Can she really do this? He asked Essa.
Wearing Lely's crown, the girl almost nodded, only the weight stopping her before she sent the whole thing toppling sideways. She can do anything she has to. With him, they're unstoppable.
Are you sure? He hissed.
Essa just held up her hands. How would I know? I've never seen her fight. In the Oberhame Arena, I was running to call the guards, remember?
But you've sparred with her.
And you fought beside her. She leaned closer. That's my sister, remember? You might be worried about some stupid position your daddy wanted you to have, but I'm worried about my family dying. His breath fell out in a rush.
I'm sorry, Es.
Do not, she warned him. Forget your place.
Majesty, he corrected.
Then a trumpet blared just to his left, and the fight was on. Unable to help himself, Death moved to the railing to look over, hoping for a better view. What he saw was perfection. Lely struck out, Tristan covered her, then they switched as if they could read each other's minds. While Tristan handled the sheer power of the Rheon Gladiator, Lely wore down the senator's son. The most impressive thing was how she simply absorbed the blows, forcing Antonius to burn his anger out while conserving her own. The whole time, the lion and wolf turned, forcing their opponents to keep pace, making them move on the outside of their circle or risk exposing their backs. It was subtle, but the few times Death had seen the lion on the sands, the man had used the same trick. Clearly, he'd taught the trick to his partner. Everything about their fight was calculated. While Vinko's champions raged and lashed out, Lely and Tristan plotted and planned, only attacking when it might gain them an advantage. Then, just when Death was sure this fight would be a stalemate, Lely struck, stabbing her blade down at the sand. She'd warned him about that. He'd heard Plague brag about how effective it was, but Death had never seen such a thing on the sands. Men tended to aim for the head and torso, not wanting to expose themselves in a lunge, but Lely was small and fast. All she had to do was tilt her shield, leaving her body completely protected, and her opponent was effectively staked for slaughter. Then, as if they'd done it a million times before, Tristan took the advantage. Even this far away, the men in the box could see the blood fly, and the way Antonius Vinko crumpled, it was clear he was dead. His father surged to his feet, screaming something that wasn't quite a word. For a moment, everything in the Caesar's box stopped as the truth began to set in.
Antonius, he wailed.
The magistrate tried to hold him away from the railing.
It's done, he said in a voice meant to be soothing. You can't change it. But that's my son.
Vinko's fists clenched, then he turned to snarl.
You played me.
Death shook his head.
I had every intention of fighting you myself. You're the one who chose Inimica Vindex. You have no one to blame but yourself.
That's my son, the man bellowed.
And that's the domain of the gods, Death reminded him. I'm truly sorry for your loss, Senator.
You bastard, Vinko hissed,
stepping closer, but the magistrate's hand in his chest stopped him.
You chose the style of challenge, Senator, he said. Now you must suffer the consequences.
But the sound of Essa sucking in a breath had Death's complete attention. His head snapped back to the sands, in time to see Laylee roll. Ursa Rex was on her, but Tristan was on him. Like the lion he was called, that man refused to back down. He used both hands to pound at the Rion gladiator, but the Rion champion was too good. Ursa Rex blocked, dodged, and at the last minute he retreated, leaving Laylee unharmed. Together, Death and Essa let out a sigh of relief.
I can't do this, she whispered, turning away.
They'll be fine,
Death said, mostly trying to convince himself.
They have to be. There's no other reason the gods would have put us through this.
But Vinko heard.
You think this about the gods? Really? Are you that stupid?
Without taking his eyes off his friends, Death replied.
I believe in my gods, Senator. I don't necessarily think they're kind, but I think they're very, very powerful. Right about now, the last thing I'd want to do is taunt them. And your gods need a Norahame barbarian to do their dirty work!
Vinko shoved forward again, this time getting closer before the magistrate stopped him.
Is that what you want, to sell us out to them?
No,
Death assured the men around him.
I just want the war to stop. I want my country to thrive. The difference is that I think we can do it without destroying everything around us.
He gestured out toward the sands.
Just look at that. I have Norahame nobility fighting for my right to rule. If that's not tamed, then I don't know what is.
And what do they expect in return? The magistrate asked.
Before Death could answer, Laylee and Tristan hit Ursa Rex hard. Between one breath and the next, the man was down, held there by the wolf and her lion.
Sovereignty, Death answered,
knowing most of the men had forgotten a question had been asked.
You can't, someone gasped. Allow Norahame to say they defeated Rhea. Think of the precedent it would set. It's because he's one of them, Vinko snarled. I tried to warn you, but you said this was tradition. You,
Death yelled, pointing his finger in Vinko's face.
Have no respect for the history of this nation. For generations, we've worked to build on what came before, not simply wipe it away so our leader can grow fat on the taxes of his citizens. That's what they do. It sounds to me like you're the one that's forgotten what it means to be a Rion. You don't want to be Caesar. You want to be king.
Guys, Essa said, but the senators didn't seem to hear her.
I fought to make this country great. If you hadn't interfered, I would have brought Norahame under Rion rule. No, you wouldn't, Death shot back. Are you so blind you can't see that? Down there, that's their nobility. Lanmont is being defended by nothing but gladiators. That's why they're fighting dirty, because you left them no other options. You intentionally defied the treaty, invaded their country, and could have cost Rhea everything. Can you even imagine what would have happened if Norahame decided to attack Rhea Dusu? They'd never make it this far, someone at the back said.
Death just waved his arm back to where he knew Laylee and Tristan stood.
They don't play by your rules, just like the Deitons didn't 5 centuries ago, and now we only have towers to the major gods. We don't know how to make more. We can't even remember that, but you want to taunt those barbarians, as you call them, to finish the job?
Senators, Essa tried again. But Laylee's voice came right after. Hey, she yelled, the sound carrying like only a monarch could. I played your game. Now it's your turn. Let everyone here see if Rhea is truly as benevolent as you say. Decide this man's fate, or I will. Slowly, Death chuckled.
And I think the gods have spoken. Vinko's champions have been defeated, while mine are unharmed. My Norahame champions, mind you. I think that if the gods were opposed to what I'm suggesting, they could have stopped this easily.
It's not done, Benko countered. My champion's still alive, and the fight was to the death.
Then banish the gladiator, Essa suggested. Show Rion mercy and kill only his citizenship. Send him back to Norheim.
Or, Death offered. Sylvanas, you can call this challenge incomplete, and let me go onto the sands with Vinko.
The magistrate bit at his lips, but his eyes were on the Norheimers below. All around them the crowd was cheering, chanting something that sounded like life in their native language. According to the local customs, the decision for the man's fate was in the hands of the Senate leader. Since there was no elected Caesar, the task fell to the magistrate.
The question, Death said softly, moving closer, comes down to whether you think Vinko is guilty of treason, as I have claimed, or if I've been converted to be a Norheim puppet. It seems the gods have chosen to let you decide.
Without any other option, Sylvanas thrust out his arm with his thumb pointing to the side. Then he held it there.
Claudius, I have a lot of respect for your father. Senator Vinko, I think you deserve a fair trial regarding these claims of invading a nation and risking Rion revenue.
He paused and lifted his chin.
So I only have one option. Vinko, you will be jailed until your trial to determine if you knowingly worked against the laws of this nation.
Slowly, his fist began to turn.
And tomorrow, I will present Claudius Gaius to the Senate as the Caesar's chosen heir.
His thumb pointed toward the sky.
Guards, detain Senator Vinko.
Sylvanas stayed there until Death's champion stepped back, proving they wouldn't execute the man. Only then did he turn to look at the Caesar's son.
And it will be a fair trial, not one your friends can influence. I'd ask for nothing else, Death assured him. I know. Claudius, your father really would be proud of you.
He gently patted Death's arm.
And you're going to make a mighty Caesar. Now go check on your friend. This isn't finished. Regardless of why, Norheim still used unacceptable tactics on our army, and the people of Rhea will expect repayment for that. I hope you can come up with something fast.
Essa stepped forward and caught Death's arm. We can, Magistrate. But right now, I just want to make sure my sister is okay.
Yeah, Death agreed. Me too.
Chapter 52. The only way off the sands was the way they'd gotten on, and the same Senate guards met them on the other side with a smile. Making their way down the ramp, Layli and Tristan were escorted back to their cell, where fresh water and chilled wine had been laid out. This time, the guards didn't bother closing the barred door to lock them in. Tristan didn't care. As soon as they reached the safety of those walls, he turned on her, inspecting the heavy breastplate she wore. Slowly, his finger traced the line Ursa Rex's sword had made. It was almost even with the scar she bore across her breast. When he lifted his eyes to her, it was with relief.
Are you bruised under this?
I'm fine. She checked, relieved to see the guards had moved away to give them privacy. He glanced down at her belly.
And the pup?
Layli turned so he could help with the buckles holding her armor on, but kept her voice quiet enough that it wouldn't carry. She's been quiet for days. The hit wasn't close to her, and I swear I have no intention of trying anything this stupid again.
It wasn't stupid.
His words were a little more than a mumble, but she heard. I could have killed our child, or me, or you. He lifted one shoulder, faking a shrug.
And I trust you. I do. But can we put off fighting for a bit?
A chuckle proved that last comment had been overheard, but it didn't belong to one of the guards. A moment later, Death walked around the corner with a smile on his face.
The magistrate will announce me as the Caesar's heir, which all but guarantees my election, and Vinko will be tried for his crimes. Now all I need is a Norheim delegation, complete with their queen and princess.
Layli pulled off the heavy breastplate and let it fall to the floor. Be nice if I could get out of the rest of my armor and back into my dress.
The queen is coming with clean clothes. You have a minute.
He gestured for her arm and began working free one of her bracers,
I also asked the guards to move down the hall so they shouldn't be listening, but I can't promise that. Wolf, because the rules were to the death, the only way to save Ursa Rex was your sister's suggestion to banish him. She's offered him a place in Norheim. Sounds